Hi, this is Matt Mazur, Patreon supporter. This episode of IVND is brought to you by supporters like me.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this NLDS wrap-up episode of the IVMV podcast. The Cubs have slayed the Dragon, and the Dragon, of course, being the St. Louis Cardinals, and they've moved on to the NLCS. The Cubs have. The Cardinals haven't. They've gone home. So we're mainly talking about Game 4, which took place Tuesday night at Wrigley. My name is Corey. I'm one of your co-hosts, and the other two hosts of this podcasting are joining me remotely through Blab.
Hey, what's up? It's Andy.
And Bert.
So, as I mentioned, Bert was not in the house last night.
No, Bert was on an airplane.
Yeah, we'll get into all those details. But as I mentioned, we're using Blab. If you're watching live, Andy and I were talking about this yesterday. And we thought, you know, I wonder if some people watch this live and have no idea that this is actually a podcast. That this is more than just like a Blab show. So,
yeah.
So you can find us in iTunes, the iOS podcast app, Stitcher, any of the podcasting apps, or you can download the free IVMV iOS or Android app. So tonight we're talking about the NLDS, specifically Game 4. Andy and I were there in Wrigley, thanks to Kurt. Let's give Kurt a
big ups to Kurt.
Yeah, moment of seriousness.
A W towel wave right here.
Yeah, moment of seriousness. There's nobody, no two Cubs fans that deserve it more, and I absolutely mean that. So I'm thrilled that even though I couldn't go, and it totally broke my heart that you guys could experience it. So,
I mean, you said such a nice thing there that there's no other two Cubs fans deserving, and here we are, like waving W flags in front of you.
Hey, okay. I don't mind.
Well, you know, I didn't take myself to be much of a woo guy.
Oh, man.
But last night's game really brought it out of me. I've never yelled and cheered more for anything in my life.
No. And my voice is shot today because I agree with you. Like, especially when we were there in St. Louis on Sunday, I don't think I screamed at all. Other than maybe at the very end, I maybe screamed, you know, when they won. But I kind of don't think that I did. And then at this game, I was like, yeah, I'm probably not going to scream very much or yell or anything. And then like two pitches in and I'm like screaming at the top of my lungs, like actually, you know, like telling, you know, you got this, Trevor, let's go, Trevor. You can't hear me. Why am I yelling?
First names even.
Oh yeah. I was,
that's a whole new level of fandom.
Oh, I was yelling like a maniac the whole time.
Yeah. And we were on a first name basis the whole night.
Right.
Yeah, Fernando. Sitting by me on the,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, people sitting next to me were probably, hopefully, not wondering why I was, you know, fist pumping silently,
right?
But some people were. I think some people were oblivious to what was going on, even though we were flying into Chicago. People were still like, "This is weird,"
right? So while Kurt was not able to join us, he was on a plane.
Yeah, I was flying Charlotte to Chicago, and I bought the Wi-Fi so I could listen to Pat and Ron, which was actually kind of cool. The worst part, though, was I forgot my headphones. And I'm like, you know, the little speakers on the end of your iPhone. Like, I'm just doing this. I'm holding it to my ear. Like, doofus. But it worked, you know, because planes are so loud that nobody else could hear it, I don't think.
Right.
So not only did I look awkward, I'm acting like a total goofball. And then the way it ended was like, so we're on approach, and apparently at some point they just cut off the Wi-Fi that you've paid like $12 for. And that happened in the bottom of the ninth after Rondon got one out, and then the Wi-Fi shuts off, and I'm just wait. I have to wait till we land. You know, I probably broke an FAA rule because I turned it on probably right before we landed so I could kind of get the update. But yeah, and then after we landed, I expected, you know, because we're flying into Chicago, I expected there to be some reaction when we landed and people found out, but nothing. O'Hare was just dead. I expected to walk out of the concourse of O'Hare and see people like, yeah,
partying and stuff.
And, you know, I know everybody's at an airport's not from that place, but
right.
hopefully a good number were, and it was nothing. It was just like any other day. So I went to the Chili's and had myself a Green Line, pale ale, and celebrated a little bit.
Was the game over by the time you got the feedback?
By the time I got into the like concourse, the game was over. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
But it was good news. So I listened to most of it and got to hear the home run calls. That was pretty incredible. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I went back and listened to those today, and oh man, gave me goosebumps just hearing the calls again.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I couldn't take it, man.
To go into the MLB app, and you know that after every game they always show the highlight videos, and it's like 25 videos available. There's like 55 videos available for this game, and I watched every single one of them.
And it's all the terrible TBS call though. That drove me crazy. Yeah. Brian and I tried to listen to them on the way home, and you know, like on the Javier Baez home run, the call was like, "Oh, there's a drive back deep. It's out of here." And then the color commentators were like, "Wow. Wow."
Yeah, yeah. No, he was like Javier Baez. And then the everybody else was like, "Wow. Wow."
But first they just said wow, like for yeah, wow. Well, is that all you got, huh?
TBS bringing it.
But then in contrast with that, listening to Pat's calls of those same homers today got to me, man. It was amazing. And his call at the end of the game where he said, "I wish you all could be here for this moment."
I thought that was awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, and I don't know if you guys caught it, but after the final out, he kind of like gave a little, recognition to Harry Carey by saying, Cubs win, because that's not typically his call. So I thought that was pretty cool, too. That kind of flew under the radar, I think.
One other really cool moment was, I can't remember exactly the inning, I want to say seventh or eighth. It got so loud, and Pat turns to Ron and it's like, "I can't hear myself talk." He told Ron, he said, "I'm just trying to read your lips because I can't hear you." And so like they're calling this game. It sounded like Ron could hear Pat, but Pat couldn't hear Ron. But it was so cool because you could tell listening on your iPhone speaker that it was so loud there that they were having a hard time, but they were also having a really good time, which was really cool because it came through in the broadcast.
Yeah, it was pretty bonkers. We met Aaron, who actually said that the game three was a little bit more crazy, which I found hard to believe. What'd you think of that, Corey?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he said that, and I was like, crazier.
Pat didn't agree. Pat said that he thought game three was crazy and loud, and he said that he saw it. That four was louder, and he thought he'd never see that.
Yeah, you know, so, and it might have to do too with like where he was sitting and stuff like that. You know,
yeah, Aaron that's true.
I don't know.
True.
Either way, it was probably just nuts both nights.
Oh, it was
when we first got there, though. I kind of thought the crowd was pretty subdued. I mean, they got sort of riled up, you know, with the opening ceremony type stuff. But then the beginning of the game happened, and could you believe like how fast it seemed the Cubs were down 2-0?
Well, yeah, two batters.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, and wasn't it even like three pitches maybe?
Yeah,
like
it was
that
fast. Yeah.
So, but anyway, so the beginning of the game, I thought really seemed to, as Corey would say, suck the air out of the place.
See, and I didn't think that it did.
Oh,
like,
man.
I think it kind of did because,
in there, man.
Well, I think it got quiet, but it was kind of like a, it was kind of like a, oh man, well, oh well, you know, I mean, it wasn't like I didn't, I've kind of said, like, I expect to see like people crying in the stands, like, and I don't think anyone anywhere around us acted like, oh, this thing's done. Oh well, because look at
the first inning though. So.
Right. And look at what this offense is capable of doing.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's why I typed down, because I wrote down some notes and thoughts on the game, is that it seemed like it happened so fast that they were up two, and I felt momentarily like a twinge of, you know, like defeat or, you know, feeling down. But then I almost instantly remembered what kind of a team the Cubs are, and it was gone, you know. So then I would say that it really ramped up again after Hamill's RBI. And in fact, when that inning started and the Cubs started having some success is when people really started getting crazy in there.
Yeah, and I think that when I think it wasn't so much of a, especially because it was so early in the game, that when they jumped out ahead, you know, 2-0, I think it was just kind of like a realization of, oh, this could be a dogfight. You know, it's not going to be necessarily like a just a Cubs blowout. We'll put them away early or anything. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, the Cardinals are not going to roll over, and the Cubs are actually going to have to like fight this one out, and they did. So,
mm-hmm.
But. I mean, I guess we can kind of share like what it was like for us. So my mindset going into the game was I just wanted to soak it all in. I didn't like Andy, you and I kind of talked strategy and stuff like that, mainly just trying to predict what Madden was going to do with the bullpen and things like that. But I didn't really want to get like too bogged down in everything. Like I just wanted to experience it all. I was like, okay, I don't want to sit here and like, you know, think of, oh, well, they missed that call and then this happened. So if that wouldn't have happened, then this, you know, I just didn't want to get bogged down in all those details. And, you know, I didn't want to like take a bunch of pictures with my phone, my half functioning phone, which, hey, by the way, guys, look at this, a new functional phone right here, right there.
You didn't get a pink one?
No, but I didn't want to take a bunch of pictures because I was like, I don't want to experience this through my freaking cell phone screen. I want to, you know, and let it just like live on in my memory and not like just let that kind of like ruin my evening by having to look at these like amazing scenes through a cell phone screen. So that's kind of where I was at with
it. That's old school.
Yeah. But unfortunately, because I decided like, oh, I'm not going to like get bogged down in details and everything. I'm just going to like enjoy this thing. And then Andy, I looked over to you and I was like, how the hell is it already the sixth inning? That doesn't make any sense. Like, man, where this thing is going so fast. And Andy's like, well, it's because it's the fourth. Because like I looked up at like one of those screens, you know, because we were kind of underneath the upper deck and it looked like a six for the inning, but it was really a four. I was like, man, I'm really just like immersed in this game and not even paying attention.
I must be having so much fun.
And then there was like, oh, it's the fourth. And I was like, oh man, I wish it was the sixth. Cause I think at that point we were up 4-2. So I was like, oh, that's too much time.
Too much time.
But no, I mean, I was much more nervous about that game in St. Louis. I was mainly because I didn't like our matchup as well. I really did think that we were going to be able to get to Lackey. I thought Lackey's not as good. He benefited from a big strike zone. He knew how to attack that big strike zone in game one, and now he's pitching on short rest. He's not going to get that same strike zone, and the Cubs are like hitting the ball like crazy right now. So I was not worried about – I mean, I was nervous, of course, but I wasn't –
But not to the same extent.
No, I was not – like, I thought that the Cubs were going to win. I thought that all along, and I don't think there was any point in the game, even when the Cardinals went up 2-0, that I was like, oh, man, we're not going to get to see this thing happen here. I did not think that. It was just like, and as it like was kind of staying close and the Cardinals looked like they might, you know, come back or whatever, I was like, holy cow, we're going to get to watch a walk-off. You know, forget watching a celebration. We're going to get to see a walk-off. It was just, I was like fully confident in it, and I got that same vibe through the entire like it felt like all the people around us at least kind of had that same feeling. Didn't you think, Andy?
Oh yeah. I mean, especially after the Hamill RBI, I thought that was a pretty big moment when Hamill got that hit. You know, I felt that was like, that was a real turning point. I'd have to agree with you, Andy. That was a moment that was really big for the team.
Yeah, and that was, and you noticed that, Andy, because we were kind of watching highlights on the way home, and man, Lackey was really beating himself up after that one.
Oh my God. He was literally beating himself up with the ball. Like, he was pounding his head with the baseball after Hamill got that hit.
Yeah, and he was yelling. Well, that's one
thing I noticed in the replay. I was like, you know, the game plan worked to perfection last night in that they got to him. He was flustered, and you knew at that point he wasn't going to be as dominant as he was.
@Beardley_DG says he was pounding his head like a Gatorade cooler.
Well, and he was yelling something about a fastball. I think it was either that pitch or it might have been the Baez. No, because the Baez one, he did throw a fastball. I think he was yelling at himself about the fastball to Hamill, and that was just so awesome to see that. And then how about like Baez's home run, man? That was just amazing. And it's a... we couldn't really tell from where we were sitting, but I watched the game, parts of the game today. And I mean, if you look at that, where that pitch was and what part of the bat Baez hit it with, I have no idea
part of the field he hit it to.
Right. I have no idea how that thing went out.
No. Yeah. That's just, that is just pure bat speed right there. Like, you connect with the ball and it's going to go. I watched that replay a ton of times, just, and that same, like, kind of what you just said, Corey, and like thinking anybody else that's just like a foul out, maybe to off the first baseline. And right. It's like, it's just, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was
to see that much power to the opposite field on that pitch.
Yeah, he barreled up in bat speed. That was it.
Yeah,
but man, the place was a madhouse after that. I mean, so many high five opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, it was nuts in there, and it was from that point forward, we were standing almost the entire time. There were a few moments where people sat down, but for the most part, we were standing the entire time. The energy was really high, and it was loud as heck.
Yeah, it was. I just loved seeing Baez do that. I really like Baez. I want to see him do well. And I don't know if you kind of picked up on it, Andy, but like when they were introducing players before the game started, I heard a couple of boos for Baez. Did you hear those?
That's awful.
I mean, there was a lot about it. I didn't really hear it, but yeah, you told me shortly after the home run about it.
Yeah, I mean, there was obviously a lot of cheers, but I did hear like some kind of murmuring or boos or something.
Maybe
I was like, what?
Fans.
I don't think so. And in no way was it like the majority or anything. I mean, it was just like you could kind of hear something maybe. But I love Baez, and it was just great to see him come in and do that. And, you know, that was only, he only hit one home run in the time that he was called, you know, when he was up with the Cubs in the regular season. So it was just awesome to see him do that, especially in the first at bat. And, you know, it went from, you know, with Hamels RBI, it was 2-1. And so that put him up 4-2. And that was, I don't know, it was just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad to see him do something special in the playoffs too. And I just, as a reminder, like, don't forget, like, Rizzo struggled, Arrieta struggled in Baltimore. You look at like superstar players the Cubs have now and where they were the first few years of their career.
Right.
And so to get down on Baez is just silly.
And it really comes down to the adjustments that they do make and are willing to make. So it was great to see him do that. And, you know, there was another error. Chris Bryant air, and it didn't kill him. So it was just good to see that again. I don't know. I feel like we should kind of stick on like just the environment or the crowd, for a few minutes. I've never experienced anything like that. I don't even really know. I don't know. I don't know how to put it into words.
Yeah. I mean, the energy level was constant and high, and everybody was just, you're right. It's hard to put into words, but, like I said, I've never yelled or cheered more at anything in my life.
And people were just locked in on it. I mean, like, people were not really talking or hanging out. People weren't walking. Like, at one point I was like trying to be real strategic about when I went to the bathroom, and I went down there, and it was like people were like going as quickly as they could to hurry up and get out. I mean, there wasn't a lot of people milling around. You didn't see very many empty seats or anything like that. It was just people were locked into that game.
Well, those people that were hurrying probably paid $1,500 for their ticket or something. Yeah, so they're like, I got to get to the bathroom, get back.
Well, yeah. And so it didn't seem like there were a lot of Cards fans there. Like, at one point you said there only seemed like a few hundred as you looked around the ballpark. I'm sure there were some more, you know, more than that, but it didn't seem like a super high number.
No, you didn't see them walking around. You didn't hear them at any point.
So it was very unlike Saturday where every other person is a Cubs fan.
Oh, yeah, nothing like that at all. I mean, it was literally like like, I can only remember a couple of Cardinals fans that I even, like, passed in the concourse or whatever.
In our entire section, I feel like I only saw three or four.
Yeah.
Compared to the Cub fan presence in Busch on Saturday was pretty insane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was certainly – I was a little surprised by that. But, man, they got out of there quickly, too, like before the ninth inning.
Yeah.
The people near us were like, they were gone. I don't blame them either. Like, it'd be kind of weird, I would imagine, to stick around to the end there. But
yeah. And then, like, what was kind of fun, and I think that this was really, I don't know if it had an impact or anything, I just think it was really cool, was that as the, as we got later in the game, so Rodney came in, man, I don't even have it in front of me. Rodney pitched the, what? He pitched part of the seventh. He pitched the first two outs in the seventh. So, like, we talked about in the last episode, or I don't even, I'm so lost on what episodes we've done now, right after our St. Louis trip down there, was how loose the bullpen was, how loose all of the players seemed to be. And it was that same thing. Like, the bullpen was so loose, they were goofing around and stuff. So, like, Rodney went in and pitched, and he came out, and I don't know if it ended up on TV or whatever, I'm sure you've seen it, but, like, he came out and was walking, stopped at the line, and did his, like, arrow thing, which I don't think he's done since he's been with the Cubs. And it was just like, I mean, you know, it's such a small thing, but, like, I think it caught everyone in the crowd kind of by surprise, and so then it was just kind of like, people like got a big kick out of it and like were cheering. I think it just kind of loosened everybody up. And I don't know if this was on TV either, because I haven't gone back to look at it, but after Strope got the last out in the eighth inning, he like, you know, did his like bump his chest and stuff like that. And then he did the run thing, like when he was the high step run when he was, who was that, Bryant, that hit that walk off home run, and Strope ran down the third baseline with him. He did that all the way across the field back into the dugout, and it was just like, you know, it was just really cool to see, because it's like, okay, this team is totally loose, like these guys are having fun, and it, I think it just put the whole like crowd at ease, because it was like, okay, they're not nervous. We don't have any reason to be nervous. Let's just, you know, finish this thing up and have a big party. I don't know. Any thoughts on that stuff, Andy?
Yeah, you're right, because you would expect guys to be a little tight and you know, maybe forgetting the pleasure and letting the pressure exceed that at times in this type of a game and situation. But I don't, yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't think that was the case at all. And those two moments were kind of part and parcel of the just the overall mindset of the Cubs all throughout the playoffs so far, and it's served them so well.
Yeah. I think I've talked on the podcast, I don't particularly like the Go Cubs Go song. That was the first time, like, I mean, I sang it at the top of my lungs, and it was like the first time that I've been in that ballpark where it felt authentic. Like, it felt like the right place for it. It felt right, you know? And I think so many times I've been to games there over the last 5 years where it just felt so unauthentic, you know? Like, it was just like, this doesn't belong. We're losing 100 games a season. I don't want to sing this song. And it just felt weird. And, like, that was, like, I don't know. I really, there was so much about like that last out. Like, I just want to like relive that. Now I do wish I was holding up my phone so I could, so I could relive it. But I mean, it was just, it was amazing to see that, you know. And then like, so they get two outs, Rondon gets two quick outs, then Carpenter, of course, gets a base hit because Matt Carpenter. And then it's like, oh boy, here comes Piscotty, you know. But it wasn't the vibe. That wasn't the vibe. I was still confident in the Cubs, and I think everyone in the crowd was. Everybody was just excited because we knew that what we were about to watch. And then,
we talked about how important it was for Rondon to go after and get those first couple of guys before the top of the order rolls around. And so,
right,
that was key.
Yeah,
that was key.
Well, and you did not want to see like freaking Hayward and, you know, Holiday and Peralta. We didn't want to like get to that part of the order. I don't even remember, like, was it three pitches? was it three strikes or maybe threw one ball in there. But I mean, it was a quick at bat and it was over. And then like, man, it was just like an explosion in that stadium.
Yeah, it was three strikes. There were no balls in that at bat.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, as soon as the Piscotty struck out, it was.
Well, I mean, it was just insane. High fives, hugs everywhere. You know, it was just. It was. I can't even begin to put it into words because I mean, you can imagine what that would be like. You know, if you weren't there, and it was. Hopefully, we have many more of those celebration opportunities at Wrigley Field. And it was just incredible, you know, to be there. And I mean, like where I was at was I was standing there and I thought, you know, like my grandparents didn't get to see this. No one has been able to see the Cubs clinch a playoff series at home. No one that's alive has been able to witness that. And it was just kind of that, like, that. I don't know, like it's partially, it was like just kind of a responsibility or something. I don't even know. I can't put it into words. I don't know, but it was just like, you really understood how special it was to be witnessing that. And like, it was just, it was incredible. I'm sorry, Kurt.
Boy, I found myself just yelling like, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I was like yelling like a madman. If I could have like had an out of body experience at that point, I would have been like, who is that guy?
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Me too. I don't know. Andy, you and I talked this entire drive home about what we experienced and trying to kind of like put parts of the game back together. You know, it was like, well, this happened. Well, how did that happen? How did that set up like that? And one thing that like totally escaped my memory last night, and I didn't really think about it again until this morning, was Soler's throw home.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that was huge.
Oh, yeah. And we were talking about how it looked like Rizzo almost cut it off. I don't know if people watching it on TV, if it looked like Rizzo, maybe he was just faking cutting it off, but yeah. He certainly jumped for it. But yeah, it was an amazing throw. And that moment, I think my heart rate, like, I feel like I almost had chest pains for a lot of this game.
I know.
I mean, I felt like I could feel my heart beating like I was a tiny woodland creature or something, you know, so often throughout this game. And that was a moment like where time seemed to slow down, you know, the ball's in flight. Here comes the play at the plate. You know, so sometimes happens, a moment hovers and remains. And that was, you know, there were so many moments like this where it just seemed like it almost slowed down for me watching.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. I mean, are we forgetting anything, Kurt? I mean, I kind of feel like.
I don't know, I wasn't there.
Is there something like.
You could run down the play-by-play, but. At the end of the day, I think what I was most interested in hearing is like you guys talk about what it was like to be there and that whole thing, you know, and like, you know, from what you could hear on the radio, it sounded incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. And like, the funny thing was I think, you know, like when I got back to work today, a lot of people were like, oh, was it crazy afterwards and everything? And it's like, you know, it kind of was, because I mean, we stuck around inside the stadium for, I would say, close to an hour, I think, just watching the celebrations and just kind of soaking it all in and everything. And then we walked out, and what's funny is that was the one moment where I was like, oh, I'm going to do this on my camera. And so I took a video on my camera of like kind of walking through the concourse and then walking out, because I was like, oh, it's going to be bedlam out here. And we walked out, and it was just kind of a bunch of people, like, just kind of milling and, like, taking pictures. Like, there wasn't really anybody. There was, like, tons of cops. But it was really pretty mellow out in the neighborhood. But, Andy, you raised a good point that, you know, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a little
when
bit more wild
right
at first. But after an hour, things had kind of slowed down.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, there's still a ton of people out there. Almost everybody out there on their phones taking pictures and stuff. So that was weird. I was trying to imagine like the scene 20 years ago, you know what, how it would be different.
Yeah.
But there were some cool things out there. I mean, the statue of Ernie having been moved right out front, you know, and then the Cubs win on the marquee.
Yeah.
That whole scene, I stared at that and kind of drank that in a little bit, and it was a beautiful thing in spite of the Toyota advertisement at the bottom of the marquee. But, but yeah, it was cool. Like all throughout the neighborhood, people were just, had a buoyancy about them. But yeah, at that point when we got out there, I feel like the emotions have kind of died down a little bit, but. Well,
right. And so the funny thing is that like, I think, and Andy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like at Clippers 17709 is asking me if any Cardinals fans patted me on the head at work today. No. And I want to talk briefly about that is I heard a Cardinals fan say today, like, oh, you know, you guys haven't won anything yet. You know, you haven't. And of course, my response is, well, yeah, we did win something. It's called a series mm-hmm. against the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he was right that the Cubs have not won the World Series yet. This is not like this was, and that was kind of the vibe that I got, like as I was leaving the ballpark and everything, I was like, this is not like our big celebration. This was the first, or actually kind of the second step to that, you know, and you didn't have that kind of like mission accomplished feeling, you know, Ricketts
unfurled the banner,
right? Ricketts didn't put up a mission accomplished banner outside Wrigley Field.
you weren't going to make an announcement from an aircraft carrier.
No, but it just, I mean, didn't it kind of feel like people were excited and people were happy, but it's like, okay, this is like probably the biggest step that we needed to get past. I mean, obviously the biggest steps are coming up, but this was like a big hurdle, like especially for fans, you know, like to get past, to win that first series at home. In the playoffs, and then for it to be against the Cardinals, like I said at the beginning, it's like we slayed the dragon, and now we can just kind of go take on other business.
Yeah, and I mean it feels like the Cubs can beat anybody at this point. I mean, after beating the two teams with the best records in baseball, it feels like the Cubs can beat anyone. It's not like the other teams are going to roll over or anything, but the Cubs have a boatload of momentum at this point. What they've lost, like one game out of the last, I don't know what, like 14 games or something, yeah,
something
like that.
13,
I mean,
some important,
yeah. It's more than that even, I think. They are rolling. I mean, it's going to be hard to stop them. I feel like they're a juggernaut at this point.
Right. And you look ahead and it's like, well, they only need 8 more wins. Only 8. I mean, that seems...
It seems very,
very
doable.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody in the chat asked where we pre-gamed. We went to D'Agostino's for some pizza and met up with Tad and Monica. And first off, we should thank Steven for hooking us up with parking. That was really nice of Steven to hook us up with a spot to park.
Yeah, that was a beautiful thing. We appreciate that, Steven.
It was nice to be able to cancel my Park Wiz, which if you are going to Wrigley for NLCS games, take care of your parking ahead of time by going to ivmv.com and selecting the date in the Park Wiz widget on the right side of our page. And I had it until Steven gave us a good spot, but you're going to save a lot of money and save a lot of headaches by taking care of that stuff ahead of time. And you can do it through Park Wiz. But yeah, it was fun to hang out with Tad and Monica before the game. And we met up with Aaron, who just happened to be sitting near us and came over and he's like, are you Corey and Andy? Like, yeah. So that was pretty cool. And really we spent a lot of that celebration with him and just hanging out. And he had been there the night before. So it was kind of cool just to get his take on the previous 2 days. And Aaron reminded me this, and I'd really forgotten of my prediction for game 4. And I predicted, according to him, he swears this is true, and I can't even, this tells you how much I say things and don't remember what I say on here. He said that my prediction for the game was 6-4, and the final score was indeed 6-4. And I believe my prediction for game 3, wasn't my prediction 8-7 for game 3?
I don't know.
And the actual the actual score was 8-6.
I mean,
so obviously, guys, I have Marty McFly's sports almanac here.
I never thought you would like willingly bring up a reference to that.
That's why I wanted to do it, just to catch you off guard.
I don't you love though, like, okay, so people know I'm a Cubs fan and they'll want to tell me about it like I've never heard it before.
Oh, I know.
If you didn't, if you've seen Back to the Future, I'm like, and you just,
and
think,
they,
like, really?
They always say, like, they always say Back to the Future also. They don't say Back to the Future too.
Exactly. And you want to be like, no, I love the Cubs, but I've never seen that movie nor heard anything about it.
Please, I know. Tell me. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it was fine to like act like you were, making me aware of this. I mean, I've only been aware of it for like 30 years. So, you know, no big deal. But but like bringing it up in like April or at Cubs convention, that's one thing. But like now,
I've heard it.
I got it. I got it. Yeah. I bet three people brought it up to me today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just smile and nod. Oh, yeah. Huh.
I don't know.
Cool. Cool. Little Easter egg there, huh? little obscure, esoteric Easter egg. You got to really keep your eyes peeled to see it. You don't be dazzled by all the hoverboards.
Oh, so, yeah, I don't know. Anything else about this game that you want to talk about, Andy or Kurt? I mean, I feel like anybody that's listening obviously watched it. You know what happened. We don't have to like summarize anything. It was just awesome. Awesome to freaking beat the Cardinals and send them home and watch Matheny get outmanaged. And the thing that stood
and
out,
talk about injuries.
Right. Well, the thing that really stood out, especially the last couple days, but really throughout this whole series, is that Cardinals pitching staff just fell apart at the end of the season. And it didn't. It, on one hand, I can't really fault Matheny because I don't think he had anyone to go to. I don't think he had anyone.
Right. I thought it was. I was licking my chops when Segrist came into the game.
Right. Yeah. You
know, I was just like, oh, we know what the Cubs can do against this guy.
Yeah, and I mean, like, honestly, I think Wainwright pitched pretty well. Feels like he did. I don't have any stats in front of me. It feels like he did give up at least a run or two in the series. But you know, here's a guy that was a starter, and he does have some closing experience, but he was a starter, and he's been out for like 3 or 4 months with an injury, and he came back and pitched 3 times in 4 days. And
yeah, he did pitch a clean 2 innings yesterday, but he gave up a home run in game 3.
Yeah. And it just felt like the Cardinals didn't have anybody to go to. And that's why I really wasn't too concerned about Lackey, because I was like, I don't know. He's what, 37 and pitching on short rest? And Andy, we were listening to the radio on the way in, and they said something about how, you know, the last time he pitched on short rest and it was successful was when the Angels were in the playoffs in 2002. I'm like,
oh my God.
Holy cow, that was 13
that was so
years ago. That was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of the aftermath. Well, I guess maybe we could talk about the cobbled, like just the surprise of the Cubs bullpen.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, I think it was Len Casper who tweeted today. Or, you know, maybe it was multiple people, but, you know, like Clayton Richard, Trevor Cahill, Fernando Rodney, you know, just like exactly as they drew it up in April or whatever, something right. like that. And just like, you know, with bullpens, it's just so hard to predict what's going to happen.
Well, and I mean, let's not really forget that Rondon. Let's not forget. Rondon was a Rule 5 pick. So, I mean. Yeah. Yeah, this whole bullpen, and they performed so well. And, I mean, Cahill did give up a run yesterday in a hit. But, I mean, he pitched pretty well throughout the series. Travis Wood, he was a gamer. And it was I mean, Andy, I kind of questioned it, but I think you're totally right that it was great to see Strope kind of get, like, the Cardinals monkey off his back here at the end of the series. I mean, he I was a little bit nervous about going to him the first time, but then when I felt totally confident with him coming in yesterday. I did not see any way the Cubs were going to lose yesterday.
Yeah, and boy, he was lights out in the game yesterday with the two strikeouts in his inning. So he's going to be going into the next series with fully confident in his abilities, and that's exactly what the Cubs need.
Right. And let's look at, you know, how important it is to get that series. Not, you know, for a couple of reasons, it was important to get it taken care of last night, because you didn't want to go back to St. Louis, even though I think that the pitching, you know, if the Cubs had Lester going, it didn't. I mean, the Cardinals didn't have anybody. I mean, who did they send? Garcia, I guess, to go out there and crap his pants again. I mean, they didn't.
He has a tender tummy.
I mean, who are they going to send? And once you could get, you know, a couple runs on him, he's going to have to go to the bullpen, and there's still nobody. So I don't remember where I was going with that. Well, but,
and the Cubs even made Trevor Rosenthal look bad. You know,
right.
I mean,
he was throwing gas too.
Right. They made the Cardinals pitching staff just look bad throughout the series, with the exception of game one. But that was great to see. I mean, it didn't really matter who the Cardinals marched out there.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, about taking care of it in four games, is that it didn't go back to St. Louis. It didn't leave any room for the Cardinals to, like, just squeeze this thing out, even though they didn't deserve it. But also, it gives the Cubs days now to get the bullpen rested back up, because the bullpen was used fairly heavily, you know, for the last three of the last 4 days. So I think that it'll be nice to get those guys rested up, and they'll be ready to go Saturday night, wherever it is, Chicago, or I mean New York or LA.
Yeah, I love the fact that they have a couple days off here. They were able to party last night, clearly, as I just watched the video of freaking Eddie Vedder playing All the Way on Lester's rooftop. and so they have time to just kind of get back into business mode and, you know, get a gamer mindset going into Saturday's game, whereas their opponent's going to still be playing a game in this series tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
You know, people mentioned this in the chat, but I saw Chris Bosio was interviewed and said it looks like the rotation's probably going to be Lester in game one. Somebody asked me what I thought of that. Really, I'm fine with either guy. I kind of do, on the one hand, like the idea of Lester going game one in case Arrieta could use another day breather.
Mm-hmm.
After kind of looking a little bit off in his last outing, I think maybe one more day could do him some good. So I don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Well, and you know, this is a Cubs team. I mean, another reason that these couple days off would be good is because this is, you know, they just emotionally, they had to get through the wild card game. And then pretty much turn around and go straight to St. Louis and get ready for that. And so it feels like they've kind of been playing with their backs up against the wall. And I think that now this kind of gives them a little bit of a position of strength. You know, even though they don't have home field advantage in the NLCS, it feels like they took care of business quicker than, you know, against the team with the best record in baseball. They just beat the two best teams, you know, the teams with the two best records in baseball. And so I think that
and they've shown that they can win on the road,
right?
This season they've shown that they can be a very effective team on the road. I mean, just look at Jake Arrieta on the road this season. Holy cow.
Yep. So one thing, well, first off, so if you're listening to this and you have not checked your email and you signed up for the NLCS tickets or any of the playoff tickets, you might want to check your email. We did not get selected for NLCS tickets, but keep in mind, folks, the Cubs are 2-0 in postseason play when the hosts of the IVMV podcast are in the crowd. So if you get selected, just keep that in mind when you're trying to figure out who you want to take.
Yeah, you got a few extra tickets.
Right.
Yeah, 2-0.
Yeah, Yep. And for
I'm sorry, one more point though.
Sure.
2-0 on a Hamill and Hendricks start.
Right.
So even better.
Imagine if we had seen a Lester or an Arrieta start. I mean,
oh, man. No hitters.
Pure domination.
Yeah. And also to celebrate the NLCS, we're doing 20% off of our shirts, and you can go to ivmv.com/store and use the coupon code all in caps NLCS. So, and I do apologize. I said this a couple episodes ago. I am way behind on email and Facebook messages and everything. So just know
what
that
I've been doing.
Right. So I have seen them, and I mean, there's a lot of questions, and we just really haven't had time to like work in listener questions into these episodes. And I'm hoping that we are able to do it during this postseason. But I've really tried to. A couple days ago, I answered a whole batch of emails. So again, we see them, and we're falling behind. So
we're not used to this kind of a busy. Right. October.
Yeah, no kidding.
We've got lots of time for emails, just not this October.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so that does it for this episode. Thanks to all 112 of our Patreon supporters for making this episode possible. Thanks to Donnie in Columbus, Georgia, and Jordan in Dunkirk, Indiana, for joining the Patreon campaign. We're putting up lots of free content on the Cubs here this month. It's free, but you can help us pay the podcasting bills and help us pay for all the extra bandwidth that we're using this month by going to patreon.com/IVMV. Pledging level started $1 a month, and we're probably going to do, what, like 20 episodes this month? And so I guess if an episode is worth a nickel to you, then check out our Patreon campaign. There's perks at every level, and again, go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMB. So the Cubs will face either the Dodgers or the Mets on Saturday evening. We haven't decided yet if we're going to do a post-game show for the Saturday game or if we'll just wait until Sunday and then recap both games. Probably depends on where each of us are and where we watch the game and everything. So what a season it's been, man. I mean, it's just like... I feel like this is a good series to kind of like at the end of the regular season, it was kind of cool to look back on the season, but like, here's just another break for us to do that same thing because we knocked out the Cardinals. And, you know, if you would have told me in spring training that we'd be podcasting tonight and talking about the Cubs heading to the NLCS, I wouldn't have believed you. There's no way. I would have thought you were crazy. So yeah, it's been just a crazy ride so far. The Cubs are only 8 wins away. So thank you for listening, and thanks to everyone that tuned in live tonight. And until this weekend, go Cubs. So don't you give up on me now. Cause when the gods decide it's about damn time, we're gonna pop champagne by the lakeside when the evening comes. Stars align. We're gonna pop champagne. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.